Is COVID-19 forcing you to think about early retirement? Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky. Welcome to The Art of Aging, a 20-minute podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. We will pick up where we left off with Lauren DeGroot in just 30 seconds. First, your AOA tip of the day. Is there a member of your family who isn't able to see your aging parent during the pandemic? Maybe they are ill or live far away. Well, in addition to technology, you can step in and help keep the two connected by requesting photographs and brief descriptions to share. It gives you something to talk about, even if it's through a window, and keep the distant family member close at heart. Now back to our topic, COVID-19 and early retirement. Joining me to resume our discussion is Lauren DeGroot. Lauren is a financial advisor with Sequent Planning. Welcome back.
Thanks, Kathy.
You bet. All right, so before we get to the questions, let's start with a few disclosures. Anything we discuss is for educational purposes only and not an offer of investment advice or to buy or sell any product. Investing involves risk, and all investors should speak to an advisor about their specific situation and have a plan in place that addresses their specific needs before implementation of any strategy. All right, Lauren, let's start with the ideal world. In one, what does a sound financial retirement plan look like?
Well, first off, when you've figured out what an ideal world looks like, please let me know. A sound financial plan first identifies specific needs and goals and then makes appropriate recommendations secondary to the needs. For folks transitioning into and through retirement, it looks at several things. So that's really where our practice is focused. So I'll kind of focus on some of those specific planning techniques. So investment allocation is extremely important. Are they invested appropriately given their risk tolerance and their goals? A cash flow situation. What money is coming into the household now and in retirement, and what expenses do we need to account for? Social Security election decision. When should they take Social Security and how can they integrate that with their other income streams? It's important to stress test the plan as well. So once we have all of the assets and the income flows and the expenses, everything built in, then it's important to look at what if situations. What if you have a married couple and one person predeceases the other? Does the surviving spouse have enough income and assets to sustain their desired lifestyle? What if one of them ends up needing extended care, long-term care? Does the surviving spouse, will they be able to afford that care and still pay the other bills? If the ill spouse ends up depleting assets, what does that look like for the surviving spouse? If we end up with another bear market in retirement, do you have enough money so that if we get a major pullback, you're able to recover from it? The last piece that I'll address today is tax planning. How can you create the most tax-efficient income throughout retirement? Different types of income, depending upon what types of income you have on the tax return, income sources are taxed differently. So for example, if you take money out of an IRA or a 401k, it's taxed as ordinary income, where Social Security, the most that can be taxed is 85% of the Social Security benefit. Social Security, if it's the only thing on the tax return, actually, it depends on the amount of money, use that caveat, but if the only thing on the tax return is Social Security, you may not even have to pay any federal income taxes. So, but when you have different income sources like capital gains and ordinary income and Social Security on a tax return, the interaction that happens behind the scenes is actually very interesting. And sometimes you can force certain income sources to become taxable that otherwise wouldn't have been in the absence of that additional withdrawal, let's just say from an IRA. So there's a lot of different things to take into consideration.
Okay, so if we talk about the ideal sound financial plan, what percentage of Americans are actually planning, Lauren?
Not enough. I don't know the exact statistics, but I would say from my experience and observations, most people haven't gone through a comprehensive financial planning process, one that specifically identifies and addresses their unique needs and goals and includes the planning that I just mentioned.
Why aren't people doing it?
I think it's often overwhelming for people, or people just don't know much about the topic. So they put it off as long as possible. Or they're afraid to disclose. Maybe they think they haven't saved enough, or maybe they just don't know who they can trust. So it's one of those things I think people put off as long as possible until they absolutely have to deal with it. And life can get busy. You know, when you think about prioritizing the tasks or the things that you need to do, it's often easy to just push that one, you know, and put it on the back burner and push it off.
Okay. And then we enter into COVID-19, of course, and we have complicated matters. In a nutshell, describe what's happening to our country's financial landscape right now.
With regard to the markets, since the pullback in March, the markets have recovered, and several of them are at or near the values they were pre-pandemic. But keep in mind that that doesn't necessarily mean that a person's investment accounts have fully recovered. Unemployment rates are declining, but are still higher than pre-pandemic times. Many businesses have transitioned to new ways of doing business, and the sustainability of those are still to be determined. And then we'll talk about the government has continued to provide stimulus money to assist individuals, corporations, and financial institutions. While this may be helping the economy in the short term, historically large government spending has created other longer term challenges. So there's a lot, you know, at this point it's all speculation, but, and I'm not an economist, but there are a lot of factors that we really don't know at this point, you know, what impact they're going to have long term.
Yeah, and that fear of the unknown certainly is causing people to panic, and they are exploring ways to ride this pandemic out. What would be some examples, Lauren, of short-term fixes or seemingly short-term fixes that may have long-term consequences?
Sure. I think that there's oftentimes people, when the market pulls back, they panic and then they want to move their money out at that point. And the challenge with trying to time the market is that you have to be right twice. You have to know when to get out, but then you have to know when to get back in. And so we always encourage people to have a plan in place and stick to the plan. Don't make decisions based on emotion, because emotional decisions can have both short-term and long-term effects, or impacts. You think about in terms of if somebody pulls their money out. For example, you know, we had a couple of calls, not very many, but, you know, I had a gal call me and request, she wanted to talk through potentially pulling money out, and this was on a Friday. And then I talked to her about staying the course and not doing that, and then on Monday, the stock market just took off. And she called me that next week and said, thank you so much for holding my hand and not letting me do that and coaching me through that. So trying to stick to the plan, make sure upfront that you've invested appropriately given your risk tolerance preferences, so how much risk you can actually stomach, so that when we do get pullbacks, you aren't panicked and making emotional decisions.
Gosh, that's great. Okay. Some people are even considering early retirement, a decision that could impact their Social Security. And we'll start down this path. What is Social Security, first of all?
So high level, I'll talk about Social Security as it relates to retirement benefits. Social Security is a government program. It's similar to an insurance policy in that it's meant to replace income in the event of death, disability, or retirement. Everyone that's currently working in a Social Security covered job contributes to what's called the OASI Trust Fund. So 6.2% of every paycheck goes into the OASI Trust Fund. And then they hold that money and distribute it to folks that are now collecting or that will be collecting retirement benefits in the future.
Okay. And we think about tapping into it. Talk about the earliest we can do that, and really, what do we need to know before we think about doing that?
There are several factors to take into consideration when it comes to Social Security. As a matter of fact, I do free educational seminars at a lot of the libraries in the area. Of course, we're not doing those right now. I miss them. But anyway, enough about that. The timing, so I could spend a lot of time on this topic, but I'll kind of try to stay high level. So timing is so important. You can take your own workers' benefit as early as age 62 and as late as age 70. For folks who have lost a spouse, they can take widow or widower benefits as early as age 60. There's other assets and income. Let's go back to the timing of it. Every year that you delay past full retirement age, you can actually get what's called an 8% delayed retirement credit. So the Social Security benefit will go up by 8% each year that you wait past full retirement age. Social Security is also inflation adjusted, so it will continue to keep up with the rising goods of the rising cost of goods and services down the road. It's longevity protected, so you can't outlive it. And it's also tax advantaged. So the majority or the most that can be taxed is 85 cents on the dollar. So it's very unique. There's no other income source like it with, you know, all of those different characteristics, inflation adjusted, longevity protected, and tax advantaged. So the timing's important. It's also important to look at your other assets and income sources available to supplement income in the event that you decide to delay. So when it comes to trying to determine what income to live off of while you're delaying, that also requires, you know, a plan. You know, does it make sense to live off of 401k or IRA assets while delaying, or does it make sense to live off of cash? Everybody's situation's unique, so it's really important that you sit down and talk to a financial professional before you decide when to take Social Security. With married couples, there's also a lot of additional rules and strategies to take into consideration, including it may make sense for one person to take early and the other one to delay as long as possible, because at the death of the first spouse, the highest benefit continues to be paid to the surviving spouse. So if you have a high wage earner and they take early, it could actually shortchange the widow benefit. So there's all sorts of different things to take into consideration. And once we start doing our educational seminars again, I'd encourage anybody that's listening to check into those, because there's a lot more to elaborate on, but we have such a short period of time today. So hopefully those couple of things are helpful. As far as taxes go too, I mentioned on the last podcast that if the only thing on the tax return is Social Security, typically you would pay no federal income tax. But when you have other income sources like ordinary income, pension income, IRA withdrawals, you have capital gains, it can actually force some of your Social Security benefits become taxable that otherwise wouldn't have been in the absence of that additional income. So it's not just about timing. It's also about looking at, you know, how to create the most tax-efficient income and utilizing your other income sources and integrating those with that Social Security decision.
Yeah, I like how you keep going back to those other income sources, because I think when we talk about the lack of a plan, oftentimes we could run into people who are relying too much on Social Security and not enough on kind of that big picture. I want to get back to the presentations for a minute, because they are packed with really, really good stuff. I'm curious, do you find, for as many times as you've done that, that there is a question that seems to come back time and time again from the people who are sitting in the audience? Because it's an action-packed hour. There is a lot, but not to be overwhelmed, because you present it in such a way that, you know, folks are able to really process. But for our listeners, I'm just wondering if there's a question I'm not asking that maybe folks in the audience, you know, will raise their hand and say, hey, what about? Anything coming to mind?
What if Social Security isn't there? That's a question we get often. And the OASI Trust Fund currently is fully funded through 2034. After 2034, there will be substantial changes that will be made, just like there has been in the past. They'll have to make some changes to remain solvent. So a couple of those things, they can increase the payroll tax. So currently it's at 6.2%. They could increase that. There's also a cap on how much you contribute to Social Security. So for higher wage earners, they're capped out. And I don't remember this year exactly what that number is, but I believe last year was somewhere around 118,000. And you can look that up on ssa.gov. So they could increase that cap. So they would tax more of high wage earners' income. There's also talk that you know, maybe they'll change how they currently adjust the inflation factor. So there's lots of different things that they can do. And if you think about it, many years ago, you know, our parents, their full retirement age was 65. Full retirement age now is 66 and maybe 66 in several months, all the way up to 67. So by pushing full retirement age back, they've actually already reduced benefits. So they will continue to phase in changes over time, just like they have in the past.
Okay, wonderful. All right. So we have folks out there listening, and they're thinking, you know, this planning thing sounds like a pretty good idea. Who do they talk with, Lauren? How do you know? I mean, it's like anything else. You want to team up with the right professional. So how do they know where to start, and what questions should they ask? How do you prepare for something like that?
It is important to work with knowledgeable professionals that specialize in whatever area you need help with. It's also extremely important to work with a fiduciary, so someone that's going to keep your best interests in mind. You can typically ask professionals in your network, whether it be a CPA or an attorney, if they have any recommendations for, you know, a financial professional that specializes in an area that you need assistance in. But I can't emphasize enough the importance of working with someone that specializes. And prior to going into that meeting with that financial professional, make sure that you create a list of questions, address, you know, write down your concerns as well. Ask the financial professional what their credentials are, what processes they have in place to arrive at their recommendations. And it's also okay to ask them how they get paid and how they, and what their fees are.
Great. Okay, thank you. Final thoughts, Lauren, during these unprecedented times?
Focus on what you can control. Watching too much news can cause unnecessary increased stress. Make sure if you're reading anything online that it comes from a reliable source. And be kind to others. We're all in the same storm together. You just don't ever know what other people are going through. And it's important to remain hopeful.
Thank you. Great advice. I'd like to thank Lauren for joining us, my husband Mike for making us sound so good, and of course to all of you for listening to The Art of Aging, a podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky, inviting you to join us again as we post a new segment every 2 weeks. Till then, may you find meaning in each and every moment, hence discovering what I believe to be the true art of aging.